Now, you heard me say yesterday, my friend, that the gospel is not all people are lost except those who believe it and are saved, but rather all people are saved except those who refuse to believe it and are lost. Now, let's look a little bit closer into that. This is Colin Cook and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to The Good News. Yeah, that's simply it, The Good News. The gospel is about good news. Why do people drift away from the church in shame and discouragement? Because they have failed to hear or they have not been delivered the good news. This broadcast is about the good news, my friend. Whether you have a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction or a food addiction or a sex addiction or whether you have been shamed and broken over the years, there is good news. Now, I mentioned to you yesterday that Paul reaches the pinnacle of this book of Romans right here in chapter 5, verses 12 to 21, when speaking about the two great citadels, the first Adam in which all of us went down into death and sin and condemnation, and the second Adam in which we are all brought up in justification and life. And I said to you that there is probably nothing in all scripture in all religious literature more grand than this passage in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. Now, when I say to you that the implication of these verses is not that all men are lost except those who believe it and are saved, but rather that all men are saved except those who refuse to believe it and are lost. This is the implication, for instance, of chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Now, this is hard to swallow, of course. Yes, we know that. It's hard to swallow because we have been endlessly taught that entrance into the kingdom of heaven is based upon your repentance of various sins and evils that you have committed and do commit still. And this, of course, creates an enormous roadblock for men with compulsive behaviors or obsessive thoughts, and women as well, plenty of those too. For we think that, well, I've had this addiction for years. I want to get rid of it, but I don't know how to. And the gospel, and rather the church or Christianity, is telling me I have to get rid of it before I can be saved. And then even if you don't have an addiction, well, as I've said a million times, everybody is addicted by the very nature of being human, because humanity is in flight from pain, the pain of detachment and separation from God. And how do we fly from that pain? By indulging in our pleasures to forget the pain. But if you don't have an overt addiction like drugs or alcohol or sex issues, then, of course, you see entrance into Christianity as simply an act of repenting of your sins in a generic way and being baptized and believing. It's all, you see, on a very personal level. And of course, evangelism does its best to make it on a very personal level so that we can get people into the church on a one-by-one basis. There's no fault in getting people into the church by one at a time. Not at all. But to see your salvation as being caused by your repentance and your renunciation of sins and your baptism is to distort it, my friend. For the message of Paul is very, very different. It is not that he is not intensely personal about repenting. It is not that he is not intensely personal about living a life that glorifies God. But it is that he takes salvation completely out of your hands and puts it in the hands of Christ. And he says that the kingdom has arrived. Now, of course, you know Jesus says that in Mark and other places. The kingdom of God has arrived. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. It is at hand, and that means in the Greek, it has already arrived. How so? Because Christ has come, who has broken the power of death and will break it at the cross, and taken the wrath of God so that there is no more judgment against men. And the kingdom of life now exists because Christ will rise from the dead, and that is why he healed sinners, healed the sick, raised the dead, and fed the hungry. The kingdom of heaven had arrived. And thus, Jesus Christ was not going about telling people to repent of their sins, but repent of their unbelief, because the kingdom of heaven had arrived. Now, you see, the implications of this for you and me are like this. I must stop fighting to get into the kingdom. I must stop fighting to overcome this and that sin before I can believe. Don't get me wrong, there is still a battle. But it is a different kind of battle from what we thought. My life, your life, our lives will endlessly tell us that we are in the kingdom of darkness. There's frustration all around. We lose our job, or our finances are in difficulty, our relationships are impaired, our struggles with sin are still present, and we feel, with all the disappointments of life, that the kingdom of heaven is far away, and that somehow we have to clean up our act and get more orderly and lead a better life in order to be in the kingdom of grace. Now, the message from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21, which I will go into in detail in ensuing programs, is that that kingdom has already arrived and been brought by Jesus Christ. He is the second Adam, in whom we are justified, declared innocent. So instead of battling, you see, to get into the kingdom, I am to raise up my voice, to express to my Father, Father, I thank you that I am in the kingdom. But you say, Colin, how can I do that when there are all these troubles still going on? The answer is, you now see all of these troubles as part and parcel of the kingdom of grace, not the kingdom of death, the kingdom of life, not the kingdom of judgment. Father, I praise you and thank you that this struggle I have, or this trouble that has come to me today, or this disappointment that I face, is all now part of the kingdom of grace. I am now in Christ, the new Adam, resurrected in him, and all of these circumstances I now put by faith in the kingdom of grace, not assuming anymore that they are in the kingdom of death. This is how we live. Now, don't for one minute think that I am teaching this to you because I have it all right. Oh no, every day I am faced with experiences and situations that really make me mad or disappointed or depressed or angry because they seem, these circumstances, to be part of the kingdom of death. But then, after pulling myself together by faith. I affirm, no, Father, these things are part of the kingdom of life. I do not get myself into the kingdom of heaven. Christ got the whole human race into the kingdom of heaven, and I am called upon to believe it. This is upside down and back to front. Yes, I know it is. But the truth is, it's the right side up. It's just that you've been back to front and upside down for decades, and so have I in the Christian world. I know it seems rather arrogant that I should be this lone man teaching this message on this very provincial radio program. I know KLT might not like hearing that, but yes, it still is rather local. But, my friend, look at the gospel. See what it implies. Go beyond the thoughts of your pastors and teachers. Make conclusions for yourself based upon what it says in the Word. The whole purpose of the Bible is that you and I, at least one of the major purposes, may go back to the Scriptures and think for ourselves and conclude for ourselves. We do not need an interpreter. We do not need a priest to explain things to us. We are priests of God, according to 2 Peter, and we have this message given to us. And so I say to you, lift up your heads. There is a totally other, glorious, expansive, far-reaching message that will blow your mind when you enter into the thoughts of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not let your timid heart make you afraid to believe it. Take the words right here and have the courage to believe and chase away fear. I'd like to invite you to become a partner of this ministry, my friends, a financial partner. At your convenience, how it works for you, whether it's a one-time donation for an annual support or just a one-time donation for a day's support. I think the radio broadcast these days is about $36 per broadcast. It's about $800 a month. If you'd like to consider yourself as supporting or underwriting one day's broadcast, that's great. If you'd like to underwrite 10 broadcasts, that would be $360, wouldn't it? If you would like to underwrite the whole month, that would be $800. But if you can't think in those terms and simply would like to make a donation of $5 or $10 or $20, please do so. You then become part of this ministry as a partner to support it. You, as I have said many, many times, are the backbone of this ministry. So, if you'd like to send your donation, then you can do it this way. Write a check out to Faith Quest, FAITHQUEST, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. That address again, Faith Quest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. Thank you very much, my friends. And I will send you, as a thank you, my Cook's Monthly Message, which is a CD on the gospel in one from one source or another in the Bible, and it will train your faith throughout the month. And if you don't want any literature, simply say so, and I won't send it. I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.